On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Current temperature in the Reno area. Let's see here. 56 degrees. I'm John Potter, live and local, checking the traffic because it's habit now. I've been doing it the morning shift this week and part of next week from Carson City. Anyway, the only accident crash we have is right by you, Craig. Carson City, southbound 580 at Fairview Avenue. And yeah, you're close. I hope you didn't cause it, but that's
yeah. If I caused it, it would have been 2 hours ago. Not.
Oh, that's right. Okay. You know, speaking of which, another way I think Carson City is better, the traffic lights there are pretty much on point. Do you agree? Because you drive from Reno, you live in Reno, you drive to Carson, so you experience both.
Yeah, they're, the one at Fairview and 580, the exit, was a little weird, but I've seen the city out there retiming lights in that in the past 2 weeks, so they're making that intersection a little easier.
Now that one, the Fairview, because I take Carson Street, because it's you know, 4 in the morning, and so instead of taking 580, I take Carson Street to Fairview, and that Fairview light at Carson Street sees me coming. And it's very, very nice. The traffic lights in Reno, I'm going to sound like a broken record again. They're just insane because I'm an early morning guy and the traffic light at, Plum. Okay. So I drive a lot on Plum. The traffic light at Plum and Kerman and the traffic light at Plum and Harvard at 3-4 o'clock in the morning favors Kerman and Harvard for some reason, and it will stay red on Plum at 4 in the morning while the ghost cars from Kerman and Harvard, it's not that difficult. Maybe we can get AI. This is one job I want AI to do is traffic light timing.
Eat your words later, though.
Right. One thing about Carson City is the William Street Road construction ever going to be finished? It feels like it's been years and barely anything has changed. It seems like they block the street with nobody there for days and days. I've decided that when I die, I'm going to haunt that place. Actually, the mayor did say in her State of the City Wednesday that William Street will be closed by summer. I'm still going to haunt it. Now in Reno, I've noticed the same lack of any workers around the Arlington closure, too. They were working on it, but I haven't seen anybody at Arlington with the bridge and the sidewalks and all that they're redoing. I haven't seen workers there for a while, and I literally live in that area. I can see some of it from my street corner. Not a soul, just fences and signage. I think the workers got bored with it. I think they... Arlington has been totally closed since, what, May? I think May, yeah. Maybe they're fixing the same streets they fixed last year instead. You know, that part of 7th East of Keystone has been ripped up how many times this year? Okay, I should say, if you just tuned into my show for the first time ever, I'm an old man. I do nothing but complain. I go outside here, and I tell kids to get off the parking lot. Just a miserable show here. No, I hate being this way. And this is not a negative show. I'm kidding. We all laugh on this show. Scratch that. I laugh in this show. No, I am a positive animal. Okay. All right. There is a lot of local news that everybody has an opinion on. If you do, 884-9910. So, what do y'all think about the proposed $1.5 million modernization of the Virginia Street Arch, downtown Reno? Is it worth the $1.5 million investment? And is it just me? Is it $1.5 million a bit much? Did they not get estimates on this job? And not only that, you know, the city is facing a $24 million deficit. They've raised the garbage franchise fee to, what was it, 14%. They're going to be raising the sewer fees, and they're seeking to raise our property taxes. Services are being cut, people being laid off, but they have $1.5 million for the arch. Why, for many questions, why does it cost so much? And how do you have $1.5 million to spend when you already have a $24 million deficit? I never understood that local government math that they do. In the meantime, I have a sewer line and a street in front of my house that is falling apart. And aside from all that, does fixing up the innards of the arch sound like a $1.5 million job? I don't know, folks. In this day of $45.19 watch batteries, maybe so. I'm going to bring up that watch battery throughout the morning. I'm just warning you. But I heard the mayor say that the arch is in such bad shape that she worries if it will even light up when they turn it on. Well, I'm sorry, fixing the wires inside the arch cannot cost $1.5 million, can it? Now, I don't know. I've been shocked at, literally shocked at the bills that electricians sometimes give me when they come to the house. You know, I have an old house, so they come out there a lot. I know it's, but $1.5 million for the arch. Maybe we should just be glad they're not buying another space whale. Listen, I love the arch. I always have. It is part of our city's heritage. And while so much of the charm of this once little city is being destroyed, I would like this one to at least remain, especially for us battle-born Nevadans. You know, maybe change it. If you're going to change it, if you're going to spend all this money the way this city is going, maybe change it to the littlest big city in the world. Just an idea. But I have so many questions. And the reason they gave for the price on the news, they did give a reason for the $1.5 million price tag. It's inflation. That's all they had to say. They said inflation. That's all? Yep. To be honest, listen, I never cared for this arch that much because I loved the one before it, the octagon-shaped letters, each with a different color. I loved that arch. I think probably because I came here in 1977, and that was the arch. And I would, you know, it's in my old pictures when I came here in the 70s. It's when I spent all my non-work hours downtown because it was fun then. But it's you know, not here anymore. The old arch. California has it. Actually, I would be perfectly happy if they replaced this current arch now with the old one on Lake Street, the one from the, 1930s. Definitely more historically significant, and it wouldn't cost us anything. The thing is like cast iron. It's not going to break, and there's not even electricity going on in there. And I think the old original arch is classy. Do you? I think our new one, or I say new, I think the current one is kind of, well, this might be blasphemy. It's kind of tacky compared to the old one. It's classy. And what they want to do with the current one to not just fix its innards, but also to modernize it. They said modernize. We all hate that word, don't we? For $1.5 million. I don't like the word modernize when it comes to our historic identity. And even that arch, the current one, even that arch is in a way historic. You know, it's in all the pictures and the tourists, and they put it everywhere. Maybe that's not the right word, historic for that arch. It's iconic. And it's what people around the world associate us with, for better or worse, our identity. And so in that respect, let's say the arch, the way it looks now, it serves its purpose, And I think any high-tech modern lights defeats that purpose. And why does it cost so much? No, really. And the post office downtown. U.S. Post Office downtown is for sale. $19 million for that big, huge, beautiful, historic, amazing, four-story monolith building by the river downtown. It's for sale. $19 million. Jerry, KKFT's new studios. Craig, you're doing the new studio search. Have you not considered this downtown post office for KKFT World Headquarters?
You know, that would be a great building to do, but there's sightline issues with other tall buildings in the way.
Oh, sightline issues. Don't give me that technical talk. So there's a TV station asking on Nextdoor, what are your thoughts on the historic post office being up for sale? Do you think it will attract new businesses to downtown Reno? Yes, a vape shop, a liquor store, dispensary, and strip club should fit right in. Or Jacobs will buy it and demolish it. I'm being really sarcastic here this morning. Listen, to be honest, I would love it if they had, this is my idea, and don't tell me it's impossible. I would love it if they had the Amtrak station, the Amtrak train station, if they had the train go through there on the main floor, and that would be the train station on the main floor in the post office building surrounded by shops. The building has always had a problem drawing people there. The parking has been mainly pay the parking meter. That's what I always do when I have to go there. And the fancy furniture store that was there, it took up too much space. Put in a Trader Joe's in that building. Done. All right. I have more solutions to everything facing us here in the world. I'm John Potter. Our phone number is 775-884-9910. More wisdom is coming up. We are updating you constantly, and so is Fox News, on the attacks and the war over Iran. Greg Neft is got local news and is covering what our Nevada senators... Our statements are, and we're going to give you the latest right here. We are live and local, especially local, but we cover everything. I'm John Potter, going to take a break. Your calls are welcome. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:19.
Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. 10:22 is our time. I'm John Potter, live and local. This thing on the screen here from Fox, is that for me, Craig? Is that an audio? Can we play this? Okay, good. Well, let me... All right. The U.S. and Israel striking Iran in a joint surprise attack this morning called... Operation Epic Fury. Iran has been retaliating, firing missiles and drones toward Israel and U.S. military bases in the region. Fox's Jennifer Griffin reports with the latest.
Multiple witnesses tell Fox that the U.S. naval base in Bahrain, the headquarters for the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet, is facing repeat missile attacks since the morning. In one case, an Iranian Shahed 136 drone honed in on its target, evading missile defense. Bahrain is the most vulnerable of the U.S. bases in the Middle East, given its proximity to Iran. The strikes began shortly after 1 a.m. Eastern. This is a rare joint U.S.-Israeli operation, synchronized and planned over a matter of months. We're told that the U.S. Army and IDF spent thousands of hours coming up with lists of targets. The initial phase will last, we're told, between 2 and 4 days, but with the possibility of extending to several weeks.
All right, and among the initial targets, the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali, I'm not reading all that, his compound, which is seen in the satellite photos, showing up as mere rubble. And we will hear from Fox News with their update in 6 minutes, the very latest on the war over Iran, the Operation Epic Fury. Okay. Other news, an update. You know, I only mention this because I just noticed it's been officially 1 month now. Update on the Guthrie kidnapping. And sadly, there has been any news, news. As of today, it's now officially been a month, 4 weeks since the kidnapping, 28 days today. I can't add anything new to what everybody else on TV and the radio have already said, except for this, 28 days, 1 month. I say never give up, because it's part of my religion, to be honest with you. Everybody I know has been telling me, oh, this kidnapper's a real amateur, yet 28 days. Definite kidnapper's luck. Luck, by the way, is why the criminals who get away with it succeed. And I say this because I knew a retired FBI agent in my hometown, and he told me his instructor in Quantico, Virginia, told the new agents in their new FBI agent class, this instructor, he says, quote, if you commit a crime, there's an average 50 things that can go wrong. And if you're a genius, there are 25 of them. So something's got to come out. I had a fan come up to me at Costco. And by the way, isn't it something that people are still actively, maybe not as fascinated, but actively keeping up with this case? It's still on the network news every day. But I had somebody at Costco, you know, everybody's got their theories and such. And this person comes up and says, Sean, this is not a he they're looking for. Look at the mascara, the eyebrows. I look at the body and I look at the gait. And unless this is Pat from Saturday Night Live, that seems to me to be male to me. I received a text on Tuesday night asking, well, what did you think of the president's State of the Union address? I say, well, thank goodness for those TV anchors who informed us how terrible it was. You know, their job at the end of these speeches is to tell us how to think. Thank goodness for that. But my take on it, though I don't, you know, I don't think anybody cares what I think, but the texter is interested in what I think. But me, sir or ma'am, I love the speech Tuesday night, and I am not a Trump shill. Honest, every day I try to get on here, and I, you know, when a Saturday, every Saturday, I just want to tell the truth as I see it. Am I wrong sometimes? Absolutely. Probably, yeah. I'm like some freaking idiot. I grew up in upstate New York surrounded by dairy farmers. What do I know? I'm going to tell you what my opinion is. I'm not going to lie about what, you know, what my opinion is. Maybe my opinion is wise. Maybe it's foolish. That's for you what to decide. Okay. But I'm going to be honest about what I think. And when I think Trump is a moron, I'm going to say so. But Tuesday night, that speech was powerful and inspiring. And it literally at the end had me almost emotional. If I was a pansy like you, I think I would have been crying. But no, it was that powerful and moving. And I urge you to lay aside your politics. It's an hour and 47 minutes. You can find it on the White House website or on YouTube. But watch it if you get a chance. It's a crime that most people only get to see the snippets on the morning news that only cast them in the worst light. There was a lot of brilliant paragraphs in that speech. And even if you saw the State of the Union before, I recommend you play it again. I re-listened to half of it on the drive into work Thursday morning, and I listened to the second half for a second time on the drive back home. It was powerful and wonderful, and I'm grateful for it. And regardless of who you voted for, I think that especially in the second half of it, you'll be deeply touched if you're a patriotic American. There, I capsulized it in less than a minute there, but I was supremely impressed. And that moment, the moment, right? You know what I'm talking about? Stand up if you believe the job of the federal government is to protect our citizens over illegal immigrants. You know what? I would like to demand that same answer, do the same thing from the podium to our Nevada legislature, to our city councils, our county commissioners. I wish we could localize that moment all over the country to find out who the true Americans are, who really loves our country and is not here just to take advantage of it, and who really wants to protect our wonderful nation and the people, the heroes who took on the job to protect it, and you and me. And why is it at most school events, you know, we start with the Pledge of Allegiance, a lot of times at sporting events where they sing the national anthem? Why are we doing neither at the start of the State of the Union Address? Okay, I'm John Potter. I see the clock here. We're going to break Fox News, live and local, and after that, Greg Neft with local news. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local, Saturday, 9 to noon, FM News Talk, time 10:36. Following the events halfway across the world, you just heard the very, very latest from Fox News. And of course, what our Nevada senators are saying about the war over Iran. Another update from Fox News. Now, the U.S. and Israel are joining forces. They are launching those airstrikes across Iran all this morning with Operation Epic Fury. And we just got this in. Fox's Trey Yingst reports from Tel Aviv right now for the latest. Go ahead.
The Israelis are bracing for more incoming Iranian ballistic missile fire following the U.S. and Israeli strikes against Iranian leadership and the IRGC. The Iranians started their response not only targeting U.S. forces in Gulf countries like Bahrain, the UAE, and Qatar, but also launching medium-range ballistic missiles toward major Israeli population centers. Over the past several hours, we have watched here from a balcony as Israel's advanced missile defense system worked around the clock to intercept incoming fire. Oftentimes, it took 2, 3, and even 4 interceptor missiles to take down these ballistic missiles. They are large, they have large warheads on them, and they are aimed at major cities, including Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and the northern city of Haifa.
President Trump is urging the Iranian people to seize control of this destiny against the regime. Wouldn't that be great, folks? This has been in power way too long. They should have been dead a long time ago, actually since 1979. So next segment, I'm going to give you the very latest we have here, and hopefully your calls at 775-884-9910, but we're going to do a full 15 minutes next segment, okay? For now, back to local news. This came up this week, Nevada home ownership. New numbers came out from the last census that it really alarmed me that as of early 2026, only 12% of 30-year-olds in the U.S. are both married and own a home or are paying on a home. 12%. And this marks a significant decline from when it was 52% in the 1960s. The combination of being married and owning a home has become much less common. And I'm going to do this decade by decade. Again, married at age 30 and owning a home in 1960, 52% of the people who are 30 who were married and owned a home, 52%. 1970, it was 48%. 1980, 45%. 1990, 43%. 2000 was 35%, 2010 was 25%, and here today, it is down to 12. Just 12% of people who are 30 and married own a home or are paying a mortgage for a home. And these, there are various, you know, social and economic factors that go into this. Number one, fewer people marry. People marry later. Young people have more education debt, which makes getting a home a lot more difficult to do. And the you being married and having a home is a very comfortable situation for rearing and raising children. And so this could be why our birth rate is dropping so much. And, you know, rearing, raising, that's why most people, you know, get married and have a house so they can raise a family. And the deal is that at 30, you know, 30 is young, but it's not biologically young. And at 30, both males and females, and this is a hurtful thing to say, and I'm sorry, but at 30, nature has designed us so that we start turning the corner out of our prime. Believe it or not, at the age of 30, fertility, for example, in humans begins to fall back. People in their 30s and 40s can have children, and thank God for that, but the natural fertility begins to diminish. We were designed to have our kids in the late teens and through the decade of the 20s. Yeah, and, you know, whether you like that or don't like that, that's what biology has done to us. If you have a situation where just 12% of your population has a mate and they have a place of their own, if just 12% of your population is in that situation where it's ideal to have a family, you're going to have a lot less rearing of families. And, you know, where problems arise from that, of course, is that family, it's the fundamental unit of society. It is that aspect, that piece of society that really determines how well we function and how well we do. A nation is only as strong as our families. And as our nation has sort of, you know, stepped back from the concept of family and the belief in family, there have been bad consequences to that. And they have not made us stronger. They've made us weaker. And, you know, how do we change that? Well, as we talk to our children, as we talk, you know, about our lives to our children, I think we should make the purposeful decision to be more positive and affirming about the importance of marriage and family. But it's tougher when you're young to afford that house now. And I don't have any grand solution, you know, to that trend in our society. But, and you, let's keep Reno small. People won't like this, but if you want homes to be more affordable, build more of them. Northern Nevada needs 6,000 new housing units every year, and we're not getting them. Nevada accounted for 1.4% of U.S. housing permits last year. The new construction premium, the price gap between new and existing homes, was 19%, and that shows that newly built homes remain far more expensive than older homes. And the problem we have in Nevada is, well, number one, investors own 25% of Nevada's single-family homes, which equates to 303,000 properties. And to be honest, home builders, they think of a home here as either a $600,000 house, or and the young people starting out can't afford that, or for them, an apartment stacked on top of somebody else. Our apartments are really not appealing to any family. A regular house, which most people prefer, and which has been the aspirational American dream in terms of dwelling for a fair percentage of the people for a long time, the city of Reno is not a place where an affordable home gets built. If you look at the prices, how are people buying their first home now? I was told by a local realtor that about 40% of first-time home buyers are using inheritance to afford a purchase. 60% of Nevada households own their home, placing the state among the lowest in the nation for home ownership. We are in the bottom tier behind California, New York, and D.C. Washoe County's home ownership rate is not much better, 62%. 41% of housing units in Nevada are renter-occupied, ranking it among the highest in the U.S. Again, I have no grand solution for this, but I'm using the radio show to ring some alarm bells here in hopes that those in charge notice. But most of this is probably a no-go because of our culture now. As I said, fewer people marry and people marry later, and young people have more debt. And let me put in a plug for marriage. I hope many young folks are listening. You need to get married. Okay. All right. I'll shut up now. I'm John Potter, live and local. Okay. Get the latest from Iran, a full segment on that. And of course, as always, we welcome your calls on that. 775-884-9910. The very latest from Iran and from the White House is up next. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk, time 1045.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. I think we're the only local live morning show based on news, which is in the area, which is a nice perk to have on days like today. Not that I'm happy about missiles flying around, but let's get the very, very latest on the U.S.-Israel-Iran strikes, which kicked off this morning. And from Fox News, here's the latest from Jennifer Griffin.
Multiple witnesses tell Fox that the U.S. naval base in Bahrain, the headquarters for the U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet, is facing repeat missile attacks since the morning. In one case, an Iranian Shahed 136 drone honed in on its target, evading missile defense. Bahrain is the most vulnerable of the U.S. bases in the Middle East, given its proximity to Iran. The strikes began shortly after 1 a.m. Eastern. This is a rare joint U.S.-Israeli operation, synchronized and planned over a matter of months. We're told that the U.S. Army and IDF spent thousands of hours coming up with lists of targets. The initial phase will last, we're told, between 2 and 4 days, but with the possibility of extending to several weeks.
And I found, I don't know when you found out, folks, my wife shook me awake at, I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning. The night owl, gave me the first bulletin about this and let me know what happened. And in case you just woke up yourself, the U.S. and Israel have attacked Iran. President Trump calls it major combat operations and is calling for regime change. The office of Iran's supreme leader and the presidential office in Tehran were targeted, along with military sites across that country. Iran launched retaliatory strikes on Israel and Qatar. The United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Bahrain, and Jordan, they all say they are intercepting missiles fired from Iran at U.S. military bases on their territory. Sirens are still ringing across Israel as they try to intercept the barrages of missiles from Iran. There's a mixed response among ordinary Iranians. There is panic in the streets, but also a sense of relief. President Trump told the people of Iran, quote, "The hour of your freedom is at hand. Major combat operations have started, and the lives of courageous American heroes may be lost." Trump has urged Iranians to take over the government, saying it will be yours to take. This will probably be your only chance for generations. You know, that's exactly what I would be telling them, honestly. And here's a headline of, because you're going to see this on the evening news, okay? Leave it to our networks. 53 people have been killed in an Israeli strike on a girls' primary school. And I guarantee you're going to see that right at the top of tonight's ABC and CBS News, who both can barely handle Iranians dancing in the streets. What David Muir and Tony DePoco will either not mention or they'll say it very quickly is that the one and only source of that story is the Iranian state media, Iran's state-run Islamic Republic news agency. And I would be skeptical of anything coming from Iran's own media. I mean, this is a country, a couple of weeks ago, the Iranian government turned off the internet in their country to make it harder for people to mobilize against him or even get unslanted news there. As for Congress, they are disappointing us once again. Lawmakers, this was the headline I saw. And, you know, when the media says lawmakers in a story that bashes Trump, it's actually Democrats, you know, but they like to make it sound like all of them are upset at Trump. Lawmakers demand answers from President Trump And their story was that Congress, Democrats, are demanding to know why the president did not brief them about this attack. He's been saying it could happen any day now for weeks, am I right? Our own Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen came out with her statement this morning that Greg Neft has been featuring on his news. And it was more of a, Jackie Rosen was, it was more of a, I expect the White House to inform Congress what it plans to do now type of statement. And Catherine Cortez Masto came out with a statement. It said that the Trump administration, quote, must come before Congress with a detailed plan for how to protect our service members and bases overseas and get Iran back to the negotiating table diplomatically. This administration must not push the U.S. into a war with Iran. Jesus, like we're the bad guys here. So that's the very latest. And if you're up at 3 a.m, like if you have a wife that shakes you awake with news bulletins, get your news BBC first off overnight because they're all wide awake there. So you know, it's a different time zone and their news people are working. Most of ours are sleeping. Another headline, explosions from Iranian attacks have been seen across the region, including Qatar, the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait, the UK. Oh, this is priceless. The UK, France and Germany this morning condemned the attacks in a joint statement. Well, of course, they haven't done one thing to control Iran while they sit right next to Iran's nuclear plans. World leaders demand a return to diplomatic solutions, and a UK government spokesperson says the country does not want to see further escalation into a wider regional conflict. But yeah, while they sit on their hands there and have the U.S., our military, do all the dirty work. And I said this in the 9 o'clock hour, you know, first, if you know me, I hate war with a passion. But those who speak out against this and every person who hates Trump is going to be calling him a warmonger. And you can count on that. You know, they don't have or they don't read history. Or they have short attention spans. Go to Google and just ask the question, what terrorist attacks has Iran been involved with? And you will look at a long list. And I'm sure that the people of Iran are wonderful. You know, all the people I've ever met from Iran have been wonderful people, beautiful people, good at heart. My favorite co-host on the Channel 2 Morning News was Neda Iranpour, a beautiful soul, very funny too. And I think the Iranians are good-looking people. I don't know if it's racist to say that, but I think people from Iran, by and large, are just beautiful, generous people. I like the way they look. And I can read just enough history to know that they and their predecessors for the last couple, actually 3,000 years, have been pretty darn cool people. I love the people of Iran, but those freaking Ayatollah monsters at the top, all of them, they need to be dead. And they need to have been dead for a long time. Going back to people who have a short memory or those who don't read up on history, when I was a young man under 30 in 1983... and that was some several years ago, okay, right. The Marines were in Beirut, Lebanon, 1983. They were over there to be a stabilizing force to protect another country. And Hezbollah, bought and paid for, funded completely by Iran and under Iranian direction, bombed that barracks and killed, the total I think was 241, but it was 220 Marines, and I think it was 21 other wonderful people in the uniform of our country asleep in their bunks, and they were far from home and family in the service in the name of the United States, only to have them butchered in their sleep by Iran. And that fire in my mind has not gone out, and that debt in my mind has not been paid. And if we kill every freaking Ayatollah over there in the next 20 minutes, it wouldn't be soon enough for me. But the fact that we never exacted justice for the slaughter of those Marines at the barracks in Beirut, that has never sat well with me, and I don't care if it was more than 40 years ago. There are still people who know the names of those Marines, who probably have their dog tags hanging off in the corner of the mirror there on the dresser in the bedroom, and there are those who still mourn those Marines and the commitment they had. And I hope that is never ending. And to be honest with you, I hope we turn those Ayatollahs into pink mist and we line up a bunch of devil dogs to piss on their remains, because that's what they got coming. And those of you born in the United States, you and I were blessed. And, you know, we each have had a hard go in our lives in one way or another. But those born here are blessed. In Iran, they kill people for their religion, their opinion, their sexual orientation. They demand women to be slaves and their faces hidden. I can't begin to imagine what that oppression is like. And here in the U.S., we have teachers and politicians and the media training our young to believe they are oppressed and put upon, and that their liberties have been stolen by some evil force, i.e. Republicans, right? Anyway, let's get the very latest from Fox News in just 1 minute. And we'll follow the story intensely in the next hour, last hour of the show. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:58.